Good evening, everyone. Let's make a start there. Welcome to our second last summer focus evening as a Stretch family. We've got one more week to run next week. John will be helping us to see how we are the family of God with Christ as our brother. That's next Thursday to finish off our series. We've said over these weeks that we want to have as biblically accurate and as biblically complete an understanding as we possibly could have of who we are as God's people. There are loads of reasons why we might possibly misunderstand our status, misunderstand our dignity, fail to fully grasp our gospel privileges and our calling to live and speak as God's people in a certain way, distinctively. If we don't have as full a comprehension of who we are, then we'll be more likely to do that. So we need to have as good a grasp as we possibly can of who we are with Jesus as our bridegroom, as his bride, with Jesus as our head, as his body, with Jesus as our cornerstone, as we are built upon him as the temple, with the strength he supplies, and then as we see this evening, his care for us as our shepherd, as we know that we are his sheep. So let me pray for us, and let me ask God for his help as we open up his word again this evening and think about that last theme there. Jesus is our good shepherd. Let me pray for us now. Father, we ask that you would help us to understand our need as sheep for a good eternal shepherd who loves us and who cares for us. And it's in the name of our good eternal shepherd, Jesus Christ, that we ask that you would do that this evening as we open up your word together. And we pray in his name. Amen. Okay, as we begin, you will see a question at the top of the sheet in front of you. Someone says to you, let's imagine it's a colleague at work or a family member who doesn't yet know Jesus. Someone says to you, I don't understand why you'd give your freedom away to religion, why you would want to impose all those rules upon yourself. How might we go about responding to a question like that? Is there any truth to their view? And what might we want to say in response? Why would you impose all the rules of religion or Christianity upon yourself? I'll give you guys just a few moments and then we'll come back together. Okay, let's come back together there. I hope there are some fruitful discussions. I imagine one or two of us might have heard these sorts of comments, fielded these sorts of questions, had these sorts of conversations with others over the years. And I wonder what you make of this particular objection to following Jesus. I wonder how you guys responded around your tables. And I wonder if these are things that have kind of flickered across our hearts over the years. So would we know a greater freedom if we were outside of Jesus? Would we objectively have less to think about if we were totally autonomous? Would we be happier if we were to live according to our own rules? Would we be just as morally upright if it wasn't for Christ? Life as a non-Christian does at times seem easier and less arduous. And if you're sat here this evening as a Christian, you know what the right answers to those questions are. So you know that it's not a religion as much as it's a relationship with Jesus. You know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know that being outside of Jesus means that it's a hopeless world when it comes to sin and death. We have no answers to either of these things were it not for Christ. And yet sometimes I wonder if we wonder whether or not we just need to listen to Jesus' voice quite so intensely and to listen to his voice all the time. I remember being part of a conversation between two chaps, both of whom would call themselves Christians, and one of them was trying to explain that there is actually great freedom to be found in not taking the Bible quite so seriously, suggesting that to do so, to take the Bible really seriously, means you lose a lot of the joy, the everyday felt joy and experience of loving Jesus and experiencing his love, and questioning whether or not Jesus would ever really have anything firm to say about this issue or that issue. After all, if he really is a figure, the figure of acceptance and love and fresh starts, why would he need or want us to live and to think and to love in a certain way in response. And it's right into the heart of a question like that, as well as loads of other questions, that we turn to the biblical reality of Jesus as our shepherd, and we as his flock of sheep. So I've put down on the second half of the sheet there some verses. And I'd love for us to spend some time looking at each of those verses in turn. So Psalm 74, Psalm 119, Isaiah 53, Jeremiah 50. If you just look at those specific verses I've listed down there, let's ask what these verses teach us and show us about our behavior as sheep. Okay, what do these verses teach us and show us about our status, who we are as sheep, and how we behave as sheep? And I'll give us a few moments and then we'll come back together. Okay, let's come back together. Here's what I spotted from those verses. You guys may have spotted these things. You may have spotted other things. As God's word describes us as sheep, we realize, I think, that it's not a particularly flattering image, nor is it an image that evokes much confidence or optimism. So those verses in Psalm 74 tell us that God's anger smokes against the sheep of his pasture. And that from the psalmist's perspective, it feels like God's people have been cut off. We have done something as sheep that has evoked the anger and the wrath of our Creator. Psalm 119 tells us that we have gone astray. The psalmist realizes that his life does not match up to the commandments of the Lord, and that if he has any hope, he needs the Lord to seek after him. And Isaiah the prophet tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, that we have all wandered. Nobody is righteous. We have deliberately turned away from God to our own ways. And then Jeremiah tells us that we are lost sheep, that we have forgotten our fold. And so in God's design for his people, we are sheep, designed to listen to him, to follow him, and to dwell within a particular fold or pen. We were created to prosper in a very specific environment. We were created to be close to God, people who listened carefully to him and were cared for by him. We were only supposed to heed the voice of our shepherd, and yet we willingly listened to other voices. We wandered away from our God. We weren't ever supposed to provide ourselves with protection from our enemies. We weren't ever supposed to know a life outside of sustenance, safety, and security. God was supposed to provide these things for us. That was the environment in which we were due to flourish. It still is the environment in which we are due to flourish as humans. Yet we continue to wander astray. We continue to wander away from him. We forget our fold. We see that our lives and his commandments are not aligned with one another, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes willingly, always in a way that incurs God's anger. I once saw a clip of a sheep. You may have seen similar clips to this, where the sheep had its head stuck in a fence or caught in a wire, and it was very clearly distressed, very clearly in pain, very clearly harming itself. But it was doing everything it could to kick out at the people trying to rescue it or to wriggle free of their grasp as well. And that is you and I in our sinfulness. We have ignored the voice of our God. We've wandered off from him. We had absolutely no reason to do that other than the sinful impulses we have as those who reject God. It has brought us nothing but spiritual pain and harm as we wander into disobedience and spiritual disaster. Curiously, though, in that Jeremiah verse, we read that there's another voice in the conversation. So we are fully culpable for our wanderings. Yet there are those that have deliberately led God's people away from God, where these shepherds that are mentioned in Jeremiah are not good shepherds, but are instead shepherds that are extremely committed to our separation from our shepherds, committed to removing us from the Lord's care and instead putting us in an environment that is unsafe and sparse. And we have been aided in our rebellion against our God by deliberately choosing to listen to the voice of those who would guide us away from God to our own independence. But in reality and independence that leaves us in utter spiritual ruin. See, God has appointed individuals to spiritually shepherd his people in his likeness, as he would shepherd them. God has appointed people that were supposed to point God's people back to God's laws, to shepherd them back to the God in whom there is eternal peace, back to the God in whom there is security, provision, and rest. And yet the priests, the prophets, and the rulers of God's people had been much more like God's rebellious sheep than they had been like the righteous God that they were supposed to represent. So the shepherds too had turned away and wandered from God, wandered from his generosity and his grace and his commandments. And there are disastrous consequences for his shepherds. And so as we turn over the sheet to the second page, I'd love for us to go to Ezekiel chapter 34. It's worth reading out the whole chapter, but I'm just going to ask for verses 1 to 16 to be read. So verses 1 to 10, let's look at those. And then immediately after that, let's have verses 11 to 16 read out for us. So let's just look at verses 1 to 16. And let's ask, how do the bad shepherds show us what kind of shepherd God's people need? Okay, so how do the bad shepherds show us what kind of shepherd God's people need? And how do the good shepherds, or the good shepherd here, show us what sort of shepherd we need? Okay, so what do we learn from the bad shepherds and the good shepherds, or the good shepherd, about what sort of shepherd God's people need as his sheep? Let's have a think about that as these verses are being read out. Great, thank you. Okay, let's just, for a few moments, in silence, on our own, so not talking to anybody, skim those verses again. There's loads in there. And just jot down or mentally note a few things that you notice about what the bad shepherds show us and what the good shepherd shows us about the sort of shepherd that his people need, God's people need. Just a few moments in silence on your own. Do that, and then we'll come back together. Okay, I'm sure you've jotted down loads of things. Let's just share one or two of them with one another. Go around the table, share a few things that you spotted, and we'll come back together in 3 or 4 minutes' time. Thank you. Okay, let's come back together there. Here's a few things you may have spotted. So, bad shepherds feed themselves rather than feeding God's people. In their actions, they devour and clothe themselves with the flock. So they're far more interested in feeding themselves with the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. They eat the fat, they clothe themselves with the wool. They literally wear the sheep that they're supposed to look after. And so in response, in verse 10, the Lord is going to put a stop to their feeding of themselves from the sheep. And instead, the Lord is going to rescue his sheep from their hands. So the Lord sees exactly what the false shepherds are doing as they mislead God's people. And he will not stand for it. He will not tolerate it. He will not allow those who are responsible for the spiritual nurture of his people to get away with spiritually exploiting and consuming his people. Now, I think that's really good news for us as a church, as sheep. The Lord is fiercely opposed to bad shepherds, false teaching, false teachers, those who would try and mislead God's people away from him, will all be silenced, either in this age or in the age to come. See, there's a real malicious irony, isn't there, in some people trying to mislead God's people away from him, promising them something better, only to then be the very ones that devour God's people with their lies and manipulation. And God won't let that happen. He will take his sheep back from them and set them up under a new shepherd. And this new shepherd will be the Lord himself. He says, verse 11, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. He says in verse 12, I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. He says, verse 14, I will feed them with good pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing ground. And he says in verses 15 and 16, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. See, God is going to remove the bad shepherds, silence their lies, and will himself instead be our shepherd. That is his promise. Where rather than bad shepherds manipulating the sheep, he is going to be a good shepherd who protects and cares for the sheep. He will lead them back to him rather than leading us away from positions of pasture and care and provision. We will be led back to him rather than being scattered to places of harm. And here's the promise in verses 30 and 31 of that chapter in Ezekiel. The prophet writes, they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel says we need God himself to be our shepherd, to guide us and protect us, to save us from our sins, and also to save us from the bad shepherds that want to lead us further and further away from God into our sins. These bad shepherds will try and undermine the place of God and his word in our lives. They'll try and lead us away from the truth and the reality of the gospel into something that is false, into something that is different, into something that might look like it promises much, but in reality only ever delivers pain. Spiritual separation from the truth of who God is. And God says, no, actually, a good shepherd will not do that, but will keep his people away from bad shepherds, will keep his people away from bad shepherding, and will instead lead us in the way that protects us and cares for us. And as we think about these realities, as we think about the promises that God makes, let's go back into our groups and turn to those verses there under the last heading. I'll give us a good chunk of time to do this. What do these verses that are listed there, what do they teach us about Jesus, our good shepherd? So what do these verses teach us about Jesus, our good shepherd? I'll give you guys 5 minutes to look at these verses, and then we'll come back together and share what we have discussed. Okay, let's come back together there. Loads of things that we could ponder and delight in when it comes to our good and true shepherd Jesus. Here's just a few. Psalm 23, Jesus leads us down paths of righteousness, away from sin, safely guides us through the valley of the shadow of death, to the Lord's house, where we will dwell forever. As Jesus shepherds us, he deals with the sin in our souls, he deals with the death that we all deserve. Guides us away from our strongest and most significant enemies. He beats them for us, and then he steps and stays with us every single step of the way, comforts us in the midst of their presence, reminds us that our eternity is one for he will keep us from these things in his fold forever. In Matthew, we see that he is deeply committed to finding all of his sheep, not willing that any single one of his sheep should perish. He's not content until all of his sheep are saved. Those who already know that they're Christians and those who are yet to discover Christ as their shepherd. He sees our condition in Mark 6 as those who have been willingly led astray by lies. And as strong as his anger is against the sinfulness of his sheep and the bad shepherds, so strong is his compassion for our souls. And interestingly, in response to the lost state of his sheep, his compassionate response is to teach us many things. Did you notice that? That is how Christ the shepherd cares for his sheep. He teaches us that which is true and good, so as to fend off that which is bad and false. Even things that are difficult to perhaps hear sometimes, even things that the world would find unpalatable, Jesus is protecting us from bad shepherding and bad shepherds and our enemies as he teaches us and keeps us close to his word and to what he knows to be true as the creator of all things. We read in John chapter 10 that Jesus calls his people to him and then lays down his life for his sheep. He's committed to protecting them at the cost of his own life. I think that grows our confidence that he really is for us. That grows our assurance that he really does want our best interests. If he's willing to die for us in order to redeem us, in order to bring us back to him and keep us, to protect us from death at the cost of his own life, that means he's a shepherd that I can certainly trust, even when I don't always understand what's going on. And then he is the overseer of our souls in 1 Peter 2. We have returned to him. And then in that Revelation passage, we read that he's leading us to living water, where he will wipe every tear away from our eyes. So we see how Jesus is the shepherd that we need in order to deal with the very things that threaten us and might separate us from God. He fights for us against sin, against death, against anyone and anything that would try and lead us there. And not only does he lead us in a way that is better than the false shepherds, not only does he lead us in a way that is better than the false teachers do, but he undoes the work that they have done in his people. So they harm the sheep, but Jesus binds them up. They feed on the sheep, whereas Jesus dies for the sheep. They have brought spiritual uncertainty and ruin, whereas Jesus brings his sheep truth and nurture. They have tried to scatter the sheep, whereas Jesus has called them together under his care. The false teachers and the false shepherds have disfigured who God is, whereas Jesus has led them back to the true and living God. And so as we begin to draw to a close, let me suggest three things for us to ponder as we finish and turn to prayer. The first is that Jesus is leading his people back to the fold in which we belong, and that is a good thing for us. So as he calls us back to him, he is not forcibly relocating us from an environment which might be good for us to an environment which might be slightly better for us. No, the reality is that we were wandering away from him. We were wandering away from eternal life. And his response is to drag us back to him, kicking and bleating, because he's good to us and because he wants his name to be glorified as our good shepherd. And so thinking about our question that we asked at the start of the evening, why would we subject ourselves to God's laws as believers? Well, that's like a sheep asking another sheep, why are you following that shepherd? Why are you listening to his voice? When the shepherd in question has died in order to rescue his sheep and is leading us towards the best spot where he will keep us eternally. Jesus as our shepherd is not depriving us of something good. He is protecting us from something evil. He is taking us from death to life. He is taking us from wrath to restoration, from sin to righteousness. He is a good shepherd in that he is rescuing his people. And I think that means that every time we feel his guidance in his word, we feel convicted by what we read and what we hear on a Sunday, we can know with a certainty that God is prodding us as wayward sheep back into a fold that is good for us. Jesus is prodding us as a shepherd back into a fold that is not designed to ruin our fun, but instead to keep us safe for everlasting life under God's grace and guidance, the very thing for which we were made. And that's one reason among many to hear his voice and not to despise ongoing correction and care as he shepherds his sheep into eternity. Secondly, let's be very, very careful about who we listen to as God's people. There are some bad shepherds out there who are trying to lead people away from God's truth, away from God's fold. We have to realize that that's happening in our world today. There are those that will teach things that are not true, in order to mislead, manipulate, and devour God's people for their own gain. And the best question that we can ask is whether or not the shepherd that I am listening to, and this applies on a Sunday morning and evening, is the shepherd I'm listening to Jesus as his words are accurately, faithfully presented to me, or am I listening to a distortion of Jesus' words? So is the preacher on a Sunday, is the small group leader that I sit and listen to on a Wednesday or a Thursday, are they speaking the same words as the true shepherd, Jesus? As I listen to podcasts, as I listen to sermons online, as I read books, as I talk to believers inside and outside the church, are they speaking the same words as the true shepherd, Jesus? Or are they undermining his care for his sheep? Is the voice that I'm listening to leading me closer to the Lord, closer to his commandments, closer to his oversight, or further away? Away to something else entirely. Careful who you listen to. Thirdly and finally, and with this I close, we cannot lead one another back to eternal life. That is Jesus' responsibility alone. But corporately, as fellow sheep, I want us to imagine us all walking under Jesus' guidance and shepherding, nudging one another back onto the path of righteousness if our eyes are distracted by something else. See, if we're being tempted to listen to a false shepherd, bad shepherding, then our responsibility is just to nudge the eyes of our fellow sheep back onto Christ as we all walk together under his care. Let's be a church family that listens to the promptings, the prods and the shoves of Jesus our shepherd back onto paths of righteousness as we head towards eternity. And then let's prod and shove one another. Let's copy our shepherd. Let's be good shepherds with a small s towards the other sheep in our church family as he is our good shepherd, as he cares deeply for each and every single one of us, as he yearns for us to spend eternity with him. Let's yearn for the same things in our fellowship across the church family and keep us all following Christ. Keep one another following Christ in his strength, knowing that he is good and knowing that he will lead us to full forgiveness forever. Let me pray for us as we close.